When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we are about a little over 10 hours away from kickoff. We're a little over 7 hours away from Texans Countdown. It's Jets and the Texans right here on Sports Radio 610. Thursday Night Football, first of three straight primetime games. The schedule gets crazy, man, in the second half of the season. Three primetime games in a row, bye week in week 14. I can't ever remember the Texans having a bye week that late in the season. It's the second weekend in December is the bye week. Now, this weekend is sort of a semi-bye week because you're playing on Thursday. But, man, and then they come out of that bye week, and it's three games in 11 days. And then they sit for another 11 days and play the Titans to close out the season. I would imagine, Seth, just logistically and trying to get into a routine, like, it's almost impossible with the schedule the way it's laid out here. You know, it's a whole lot of fun for people like us, but I'm anxious to see how the team adapts to it. Here's my question. No Stephon Diggs, no Nico Collins. Big adjustments for the Texans here. Who is the Texans' leading receiver tonight in this game?
Is
Tank Dell the obvious answer here?
The Jets have a couple of really good cornerbacks, and I know Sauce Gardner's not having the year that he's, you know, a quintessential Sauce Gardner year, but he and DJ Reed are both really good. I think there's a really good chance that Dalton Schultz ends up with the most receptions.
Most catches.
I think for, one, because the cornerbacks are really good, but two, also because the best way to protect CJ against the blitz, or even the simulated blitzes and some of that, is some of the quick passing game.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Dalton Schultz comes in, and some of the underneath stuff. So the last couple weeks, it's not like CJ's been good versus the blitz all year. It was the Packers game where the Packers didn't even blitz that much, but they did such a good job of showing blitz, but then dropping everybody out and then selectively blitzing, that it was an issue. And I thought the protection in some ways improved as the game went along last week, but CJ was still under pressure nearly 60% of the time. And I think getting the quick passing game going and getting the tight ends going is the best way to combat that. I wish they were better at setting up screens. I think they're too predictable, and they're too sloppy in setting it up. They're not good with the screen. So,
dude,
I think it ends up being Dalton Schultz.
That sucks, because Joe Mixon on a well set up screen is that is tasty right there. You know?
And Joe Mixon, I think part of the problem with some of their predictability right now is I think they just trust Ogunbowale more in pass protection. So it's easier for him to seep out on things, whereas with Joe Mixon, I think they're more keyed in. They're more keyed into what Joe Mixon as a receiver. But he still did as an outlet, yeah, and as a checkdown, he's kind of a secret weapon now. So he did some really good things out in the flat in this last game.
Yeah, he's been nice as a pass receiver this year, man. You think Tank has a more Tank-like game tonight, or is this more of a game that's conducive to Tank kind of getting snuffed out just because he's the only threat out there as a wide receiver? I mean, like, Xavier Hutchinson and Mechie have done some good things. Woods is a you know, cagey vet.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Tank Dell is the one guy that can hurt you in that receiver.
I think there's a chance that ever since Saleh left, this team has gotten, the Jets have started playing more man defense, and it just, it hasn't worked out well. But I do think there's a chance for a deep strike by Tank Dell tonight, if the protection holds up. So a lot of that goes back to, all right, what's Kenyon Green doing? I'm not optimistic that Kenyon Green's going to hold up versus Quinnen Williams. I think by the end of my prediction would be that by the end of the first quarter, Kendrick Green is playing left guard.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I think that the team had a hard time making the decision, and because it's a short week, that probably factored into it. They probably figure, well, we can't get Kendrick Green a bunch of extra reps because we're not even really practicing. So we're going to roll with the upside of Kenyon Green and see if a kick in the rump kind of did it for him, and we'll see what he looks like. But it's got to be a very, very short leash.
What are the instructions for Kendrick Green? You know what I mean? Like, is it, hey, man, just go out there, like, focus, you know, because he hadn't gotten a ton of reps, obviously, right? If Jared Patterson was the first guy they put in the last game, then clearly Kendrick Green probably is not getting at least a ton of reps at left guard. We know he's the backup center also for this team, so maybe he's getting reps there. I mean, is it basically just like, dude, find your guy? Because Kenyon Green strayed off of his guy so much, it felt like.
And it's always, he's trying to do the right thing. Like, the hard thing about this, with Kenyon Green especially, but early in the season, it was all the offensive linemen, more no, so now it's been more Kendrick Green and the interior line at times, where they're just blind to any. They're blind to the possibility of there being movement by the defensive lineman.
Yeah,
and everybody else has improved at it, but Kenyon Green now, he's like totally aware that he's got to be scanning, but now he goes looking for work and vacates his area and allows really big human beings right up into C.J. Stroud's lap. It really is. It's not rocket science. It's play your techniques, play your rules. Let things sort themselves out. And it's been frustrating for me to watch because in college, I actually thought he was advanced in that regard.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job of just keeping his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage and just being in the right position. I think he was probably way more confident in his ability to physically win in college. So maybe that was part of it. But he's seemingly lost that ability.
Yeah, I feel like when it's giving instructions to whoever's playing left guard, I feel like it's like when in Rocky IV, where Rocky says, "I'm seeing three of them out there." You know, talking about going to Von Drago, and the instructions were hit the one in the middle.
Yeah,
I feel like that should be the instructions. Like, hit the one in the middle.
With playing offensive line, there it takes a lot of confidence to just trust that your feet and your technique are going to take you there and get the job done. And he just doesn't look like he has that confidence.
Yeah.
So you end up taking three steps when you should have taken none.
Mm-hmm.
You take two steps to the left and then realize, oh crap, I got to get back to the right, where you just should have stayed in your spot the whole time. There's a little bit of that there. And that springs generally from a lack of confidence in your technique.
Hindsight's 20/20, but do you think, like, in retrospect, I mean, obviously in retrospect, the Texans maybe, in addition to shopping for all these things they shopped for in the offseason,
uh-huh,
might have been well served to go find another veteran interior offensive lineman? Like, is this something, I'm trying to remember, like, were we cool with the Kenyon Green reclamation project?
No, I'll tell you, I remember really well that there were a lot of people that were irate that the Texans didn't address the interior offensive line.
Yeah.
And I was, I think, too casual in it, in my skepticism over it, because I felt like, well, you know, I think they like the upside of Patterson, and I think they really feel and believe that Kenyon Green has the ability to be a good. So I was way too casual about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anybody that wants to say "told you so" to me, 100% you can, unless Kendrick Green comes in and balls out for the rest of the season.
There you go.
Well, and then I'll say, well, they were just too slow to make the decision in season. But
Patterson. Yeah.
Yeah. If Jared Patterson comes back, and then it'll be like, okay, well, why didn't they do it earlier?
Yes.
But so there's still, you can say "told you so" for the moment, but I reserve the right to retract that "told you so."
Yeah. And the reason I asked that, like, it, And the Diggs injury kind of highlighted this for me yesterday, because Diggs was having a year where I felt like he was worth the trade. Like, I felt like Diggs, you know, it hadn't been big explosive stuff, but Diggs was having a good season, and I was like, this is a good trade. And the reason I bring up the interior of the offensive line is that's what's killing this team right now, is their inability to protect C.J. Stroud. you know, if we were talking about they should have done this or they should have done that in the offseason, then it kind of overshadows the fact that the offseason, just in terms of the guys they did go get, have largely worked out really, really, like way better than as a collective group you expect free agents. And I'll even call Mixon and Diggs free agents because they Mixon especially, he was about to be a free agent and they traded a seventh round pick and they gave him a contract. But like Mixon has worked out better than I think when he's been on the field. I know the injuries.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about, oh God.
No, I was just going to say Mixon, Hunter has been really good. Aziz, again, when he's been on the field, I think has been good. Now, DeNico Autry getting suspended, that's a negative right now. I think the D-line, what they did with that group, that was under a big microscope by a lot of people, like that trade with Malik Collins.
Line,
the interior, yeah. And I think that group's been pretty good so far.
DeNico Autry and how he ends up, you know, faring by the end of the year, that'll be the interesting one.
Yes.
He hasn't made a huge impact immediately, but I thought he did more things in the second game than the first. So... I think that the whole thing about the offseason strategy where they were super aggressive, the only thing I wonder about in hindsight is, look, they said all the right things in terms of like, yeah, hey, it's fun, it's exciting, but we haven't won anything yet. We haven't proven anything yet.
Yeah.
I think that there was maybe too much of a focus and concentration on, wow, how do we unleash this embarrassment of riches that we have at wide receiver?
Yep.
And I think they got a little ahead of themselves that because they, when they were surprised by how much cover two they were seeing, they couldn't take advantage of it. They just, they had not developed the rest of the offense well enough to take advantage of that. They couldn't run the football when teams were all but inviting them to run the football. So that part of it, I think in terms of the overall strategy was all right. Yeah. There's a reason you don't get 3,000 yard receivers very often in NFL. It's not as simple as having a boatload of dudes out there and then you're off to the races.
Text message. It's a 5 hour energy fan line, 5 hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Sean and Seth, sorry if I missed it. Can Seth give his score projection for the game? He's been nails on the over-under lately. You're going to do that in the final segment, right?
Yeah, and I will be taking the under, but I haven't hammered down. There's a couple more things I want to look at before I give you my final prediction.
Final
for
score,
the game.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. So
I've been pretty good with the totals. I've been off a little bit on the, you know, the if the damn game would have ended, you know, when it should have. Right at the end of the third quarter last week, I think I would have nailed it almost precisely.
The part where you've been really good when in the last few weeks is nailing down the type of game it's going to be.
Yeah,
you know, which is that's where the total comes in. Like, okay, is this going to be a tight defensive struggle? Are there going to be a lot of turnovers? That sets up short fields, things like that. You've been nails on that part.
You know, the last time I really put a lot of energy into kind of just figure out the both fantasy and the gambling side of things, my whole method then was I would listen to podcasts all week long.
Mm-hmm.
I would look at all the advanced stats and everything, but then I would trust my brain to take all of that information and then just use my intuition.
Yeah.
It was like an informed intuition about what I was feeling from listening to really, and I would listen to really smart people like Greg Cassell and what have you, but it was too labor intensive, damn it. It wasn't enough for me to erase my gambling.
Yeah.
I wasn't even gambling. I was just kind of dabbling in some stuff.
We'll get to JJ Watt on the McAfee Show in the next segment. Speaking of podcasts, there's a lot of really good podcasts here locally that cover the Texans. We're real fortunate in this town. Like you've got the radio stations and the mainstream news outlets that cover the team all do a really good job. We've got that layer of folks that cover the team that are enthusiastic about the team, that generate content about the team that are really good. Texan Fan Battle Podcast. I know you and I have both been on there, Seth. They do a really, really good job. Kenneth the Messenger and Fifth Ward Crenshaw, who I saw these guys, they were out at the Buffalo game. They came by our pregame show, and they just dropped a YouTube of the official Swarm music video. So we're going to play some of this here for the audience here, and then we will do our American Idol on this thing. So here you go. Here is the Swarm official anthem for the Texans, Kenneth the Messenger and Fifth Ward Crenshaw.
Got the Texas Fan Battle Podcast. Your friends, Fifth Ward Crenshaw. You know the best out there. Kendo, Bo Diggity, 713. To all my Texans, Texas Nation. If you feeling good, I want you to throw them H's up high. Yeah, like that. I see you.
That's warm. Yeah, Houston, Texas, born and raised. Yeah, that's where I'm from. The best city in the state. Yeah, we stay turned up. There's excitement in the air for the Houston, Texas. We swarming all year, causing havoc, we wrecking. Coming off that edge, we got 5-5, time for our one. Thing on the outside, locking down your number one. All about the swarm mentality and the H. Standing on business is the way we operate. I rep that 7 like CJ. That 1 like Diggs. That 3 like Dale. H-Town, we doing it big. You know that 12 out here. And don't you never forget. Better pick your poison, cause we got Joe in the mix. We rock that battle red, still blue. Liberty white, it's time blue. Drip galore, man, we so fresh, fire like the field. Shout out to the whole squad chasing greatness. Eyes on the prize, one goal, it's time to take it.
Let's get it.
Throw the matrix up. Throw the matrix up. Now you throw the matrix up.
All right, there you go. Okay, so we'll down cue. So we got the first verse in there. I thought they did a nice job, man.
Yeah, I thought that was good. That was good. Fifth Ward Crenshaw has put out some good stuff
he
before.
Does, yeah.
And I'm going to say yes. I'm trying to, as a member of the all-time Meathead team that we're still
charter member
right now.
You're an original Meathead,
but
yes.
Charter member of the all-time Meathead team. And you know, it's kind of like the all-time Meathead team getting together with rappers. It's kind of like when it's kind of like back in the day when Aerosmith did the video with
Run DMC.
Yeah, with Run DMC.
Yeah, Run DMC, yeah.
That's when the two worlds collide and it's a better mix than you expect.
Right.
That's, I could totally see myself kicking a nerd or crushing a beer can against my head and or something like that while listening to that and then throwing up the H's.
Yes, yeah.
And dancing and jumping around arrhythmically.
And,
yes.
And swarming, yes. And swarming on that nerd, not letting him up.
Asking, you guys do mosh pits at this stuff? And they're like, well, no, that's not quite our thing. All right? Listen, Seth, there's no mosh pit here, okay? Don't go trying to, don't go slamming into some dude you don't know.
No. that was good, man. They got it all. 713, H is up, swarm. They got CJ.
Joe is in the mix.
The only thing, like anything that mentions Diggs, man, it's still too soon for me. You know, like it makes, like they mentioned.
What was the Diggs line?
7 for CJ, 1 for Diggs, and 3 for Dell. They did the 713. Okay. Yeah, so they mentioned Diggs. So that made me sad, but that's not their fault. They wrote this and put together this video before Diggs tore his ACL. So I can't get angry at Kenneth the Messenger and Fifth Ward Crenshaw about that. It just made me sad for a moment. But that was really good. I'm going to put the link. The whole video is about 3.5 minutes long, so there's more verses to it, obviously. I'm going to put it up on my social media. I'm going to put it up on my X feed and retweet it if you're up there. The video's fun. They shot a lot of this before the Buffalo game, it looks like, out by the stadium.
I wanted to listen to it raw, so I'll watch the video after this.
Yeah,
that was the first time I'd heard it. Yeah.
I'll CC you on the tweet.
No, I could 100% stuff a junior high science teacher in a garbage can.
To that.
Listening to that music, yes.
You meathead.
The all-time meathead. What am I called? Charter member of the all-time Meathead Club approves.
Indeed. Yeah. Good job, fellas. We give it a thumbs up. I love that I love that the Texans are generating the enthusiasm that leads to content like this. That's the big thing here. So good job, fellas. We appreciate you sharing that with us. I'll put it up on my Twitter feed momentarily. Up next, JJ Watt. He was on the Pat McAfee show. The Texans are still underdogs to the Jets. JJ had not gotten that memo. He got the memo on the McAfee show, and this is some pretty incredible audio that you're about to hear from JJ Watt, and that's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, all the Halloween people are lurking in the building now here. All the costumes and everything else. Figgy just scared the living daylights out of me because he was... There's a window to our studio here, and I could see someone over my back shoulder standing in the window, and I turn around, and it's Figgy painted up like the Joker with a maniacal smile on his face.
And he's just standing there?
Just standing there, yeah. Just standing there. Was standing there for a good 30 seconds, like waiting for me to turn around.
What the hell, Figgy?
Man.
You can't do that. I'll tell you what, too. Adult houses, these adult horror houses...
Now the other kind,
houses of horror.
Of horror. There you go.
That's why they call it a house of horror. House I never horror. Thought about why they do. They call it
now
a,
we know.
A house of horror, not a horror house.
Yeah, it's a little close.
Is it a horror house, a horror house, or a horror house?
Yeah. So what were you going to say about the houses of horror?
The house of horrors. Yeah. They're a bit much, man.
Yeah.
They're a bit extreme. I saw one yesterday where they actually strap you down and put tarantulas on your face.
Okay, that's messed up, dude.
You get a prize if you make it through all seven levels of this house of horrors.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was watching. I was like, yeah, I could totally handle that. And then I got to the tarantulas. Nope, tapped
how
out.
Far in were the tarantulas? How many stages?
Seems like the fourth or fifth level.
So could you have gotten through the first few? Do you remember what they
probably
were?
Probably not. Yeah. No, I'm all big talk when I'm seeing it and I'm not involved in it. I've learned this from VR.
Typical meathead. Like
classic meathead. No, man, I'll tell you what. If you've ever done VR goggles, that whole, like, it doesn't matter how much you know it's an illusion and how fake it is. You're standing on a plank 20 stories up, and it's the most terrified I've been outside of a nightmare.
I get it.
Since I was, like, 16 years old. Yeah. So, no, I'm big talk when I'm outside of a house of horrors.
Right.
But if I were in it, I'd be a whiny little baby.
Yeah, classic bully. Just punch him in the face. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the bully that all of a sudden gets reduced to rubble when faced with genuine adversity.
I love it.
Or demand for courageousness.
That's right. J.J. Watt was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. Here was J.J. Watt finding out that the Texans at that time were a 2-point underdog to the New York Jets.
Let's talk about your Houston Texans. Big game tomorrow night against the New York Jets to kick off week 9 of the NFL season. You guys are underdogs, I do believe, in New York. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
You gotta be shitting.
What?
Are you kidding me?
Brother.
You gotta be kidding me.
Brother.
This is, hell does Vegas know that I don't?
This is what they know. This is what they know. Prime
He's
time.
Back.
Prime time.
Is he gonna be on the Jumbotron?
Didn't see that coming. Could be wrong, but I don't think I am. If I just look at these two squads truthfully right now, obviously I'm slightly biased, but I believe Houston Texans are the better team.
The McAfee
guys, man, I hate that those guys think they belong on the circle of meatheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They make me hate Fireman Ed even, but they were doing a Fireman Ed there, right? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah.
They make me hate Fireman Ed even more.
It's their joint. I enjoy the McAfee show. Their little, like, kind of joint frat boy type stuff, though, drives me insane.
You know,
that's it really gets on my nerves when they do their little chants and stuff.
It probably also translates better on TV than it does on just the audio of it. You know what I mean?
No. I don't like it. No.
Oh, okay.
I don't like any of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't mind it. When
they all say he's a dog in unison, it annoys me.
No, you're right. You're right. Boy, JJ was incredulous. Like, he couldn't believe it. Now, Now, I think there's explanations. This is what JJ didn't want to hear. And I think the Texans are the better team, too. But I do think there are reasons, good reasons, why this is a game that has flirted anywhere from Jets minus two to the Texans were minus one at one point this week. Like, this line has floated around a little bit. I think these two teams, based purely on the not just the obviously based on the results, it's very different. The Texans are four games different. But the fact, like, how different the results could have been with just a little tweak here and a little tweak there.
Right.
Specifically kicking game for the Jets.
The Texans, it's the Texans in a lot of ways, when you look at them, they look like a 500 football team, especially when you're 6-2, very easy to be, incredibly easy to be 4-4. There's very little difference in there.
Yep.
I think that for one, obviously you're playing on the road. So a 2.5 to 3 point difference goes there. So the Texans are still looked at as the better team, but they're playing on the road.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think that you take the top off of both of these offenses a little bit because both these teams have good cornerbacks and both these teams have passing offenses that have not performed up to expectations.
Yeah.
You look at the names on the depth chart and you think on both these teams until now, the names on the depth chart for the Texans don't look as impressive in the receiving core as the names on the depth chart for the Jets.
No doubt.
But they haven't been able to tap into that. But it's the Jets have the advantage if you're trying to look at it as objectively as possible on wide receiver talent. The Texans defense has been very good. Their one Achilles heel, or one of their Achilles heels, has been allowing the big plays and the deep shots. On a down-by-down basis, the Texans are playing extremely well defensively.
Yes.
But then they have these blemishes that are just huge chunk plays, often in the passing game. And I think that keeps it a little bit closer. I would expect a big play. There's more likely to be a big downfield shot by the Jets today than there is by the Texans.
Oh, no question about
that. Especially if they figure a couple things out, if they use Devontae Adams a little bit differently. So that's what makes me more nervous than anything else.
Yeah.
I think on a down-by-down basis, yes, the Texans are going to really, honestly, physically mop up the floor with the Jets. But there's a couple little hanging chads that make me nervous.
You're talking about Texans defense mopping the floor with the Jets offense. JJ also had some opinions on, and well, by the way, for those asking, we'll get final predictions and some other keys to the game in the final segment of the show. I wanted to get this in from JJ because here's the fact of the matter: if the Texans lose this game tonight, they're staring at 6-4 because the Lions might be the best team in football right now, and they're the ones coming to town next week, next Sunday, and who knows what the Colts are now with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I think they're a better football team, clearly, than Anthony Richardson, who tapped out of a game on Sunday against the Texans. Here was J.J. Watt yesterday on the Colts moving on to Joe Flacco.
I personally don't. I think they're a very good team. I do think Flacco gives them the better chance to win games right now. I don't think they're a Super Bowl winning team this year. And for me, if you were going to go that route, then you have to move to Flacco earlier than this. That's my opinion. Because right now, I think the only way you go to Flacco today is if you truly believe you can win the Super Bowl this year. Because otherwise, you have to figure out what you have with Anthony Richardson long term. You have to let him grow. You have to let him develop. There is such an epidemic in the NFL right now of ownership and coaches trying to get a young guy to play at such a high level so early, which, yes, we all want to. We would love if everybody came in and played like C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels. It would be incredible. But we're churning through these young guys so fast. If you are in a situation where you are rebuilding an organization or you're drafting a young quarterback to build around, you better understand what situation you're in. You better understand that might not be Super Bowl in year one or year two, but that guy could develop longer term.
I think and I don't disagree with JJ there, but I think the question is, okay, what's the best way to develop a young quarterback? And I think what happened with Anthony Richardson over the course of the first half of the season was that he wasn't actually making progress, and in some ways he might be regressing in terms of his complete and total understanding of how to play quarterback, which, yeah, shouldn't be a surprise given that he hasn't played that much quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because he's been injured so much in his career, but didn't play much quarterback in college. And I think that they got to the point, especially in that Texans game, where he did so many egregiously dumb things by even rookie quarterback standards that they felt like, all right, we're not gonna get the improvement we need out of him if you actually genuinely want to even do right by him, that he needs to take a step back. And it doesn't mean that it's for the entire season. Maybe it's two or three games. I don't know. But I think maybe for Anthony Richardson's own good, when you try to roll him out there the week after he does not just the bad football decisions, but tapping himself out because he's tired, which just doesn't, I can't explain it any differently to people who are skeptical of this. It just doesn't happen. Some traditions are dumb and you do them a new way because, you know, people realize like, okay, because people will say, well, he took himself out of the game. What's the big deal? Other positions do that. Right. Because it's acceptable for those other positions to do it. Mm-hmm. There's reasons why. Just flat out, it's unacceptable for a quarterback to take himself out because he's out of breath.
Right.
He's not hurt. A position that, A, physiologically, even the way he plays it, is that demanding, yeah, cardiovascularly, to where you need a blow. And B, if you're the starting quarterback, that's your offense.
Yeah.
It's third and goal.
Yeah.
You're down by 10.
Yep.
And it's third and goal. That's your offense. Why the hell are you taking yourself off the field? It's like abandonment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a policeman disappearing when the criminal shows up. it's cowardice on a certain level.
It is, no question.
And I don't think the fact that Anthony Richardson doesn't understand that shows you how far behind he is in understanding all the other things that it takes to be an NFL quarterback.
Well put. No doubt. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. We will get on the record with this game. People want Seth's prediction because he's been cash money on the on over under aspects, yeah, of these games. So we'll dig into the keys to the game. We'll get predictions. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop, one of whom is in costume today. Well, actually, two, Figgy and Lopez, both in costume. Unless Reggie's just dressed as Reggie Adetula, I don't know. But so we'll get thoughts from those guys on the game as well. That is coming up next. Payne and Pendergast with you. It is a Football Friday on a Thursday today as the Texans take on the Jets at 7:15 tonight right here on Sports Radio 610. Text message to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I predict Aaron Rodgers will have a blow up on the sideline around the third quarter after he's been sacked for the fourth time and they've only scored two field goals. I could see that. That is a feasible outcome to me. Hey, Jordan, turn Seth's mic up. There we go.
A blow up on the sideline.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I don't know. I don't think he's ever had a blow up on the sideline, has he?
That's a good question.
That I can remember. Yeah, I don't think he's not quite a blow up guy.
He's not a yeller.
He's more of a passive aggressive.
That's exactly what he is.
You know?
Yeah, it's exactly what he is.
I'm not even just, look, I'm kind of a passive aggressive dude at times. I'm not even saying that as shit. What? What?
I think you're pretty expressive, you know?
When is it? Somehow it's a compliment to say, like, no, you're aggressive.
Yeah,
you're aggressive.
Yeah, no, you're clear.
No. You're totally aggressive.
No. Clarity. Passive aggressive people by nature are not clear human beings. And I find that to be a negative quality. Like, just tell
you
me
just
where
you're
at.
Come right out and
yeah.
say it when you got an issue
yes.
with somebody.
Yes.
Okay. I'm more on that line. All right.
It was a compliment,
yeah, so.
Dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
What were you going to say? What were you going to say?
Yeah, I don't think an Aaron Rodgers meltdown, I'd be really surprised. I think maybe Davante Adams, that's what we need. Because remember, Davante Adams earlier this season had said something like, I got to get up out of here, I'm going to get killed, because he was getting thrown these hospital balls, basically.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance maybe you get some lip reading out of Davante Adams.
Mm.
Him talking to somebody on the sideline saying, I don't know what the hell's up with him. I don't know what's going on with Aaron. He's just not the same. He's not the same guy.
I would just love for it not to work, because this would be the second straight time that Davante Adams has kind of gotten his way and probably felt like the smartest guy in the room that he got his way. You know what I mean? Like, when he got traded from the Packers to the Raiders, it's like, well, I'm getting to play with Derek Carr.
The team that I cheered for as a child, and now I'm with him, and it's going to be glorious.
Yeah,
the storybook ending to my career here.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah, Derek Carr gets cut.
He keeps getting done in by friendships.
Yeah, yeah.
He's close friends with Derek Carr, and so he goes there. Now he's going to the Jets to go play with his close friend, and it has not worked out.
That's right.
There's a lesson here. It's to abandon your friends.
Absolutely.
Early and often.
Yeah. DTA, don't trust anybody. Have no friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the lesson, kids. Get rid of all your friends.
As you go out with your friends tonight on Halloween.
Right.
Just abandon them ASAP.
Yeah. Just look around and ask yourself, which of these six people are going to disappoint me? And I will answer that question for you. All of them. They're all going to disappoint you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into this game, Texans and the Jets. I think if I'm narrowing this down to like the most key guys for the Texans, to me it's Joe Mixon, whoever the hell is playing left guard, and the two edge rushers. Like those are the big ones for me. Well, so we can start on the offensive side of the ball. You think there's a good chance that Kenyon Green could be replaced by Kendrick Green by the end of the first quarter?
Yeah, I think he's on a really short leash, and they're facing Quinnen Williams, so you can't dilly-dally and take your time with, let's see if Kenyon only allows three pressures this game
to
before
the guy
Quinnen Williams ends
who
up.
Literally knocked out C.J. Stroud last year.
Right.
That guy.
The only thing I can hope is that CJ doesn't remember anything about that day. Then maybe because he was concussed, he doesn't remember the hit or anything. Because the ghost of that hit that happened on that field from that player going against an inadequate left guard last year.
Yeah.
That's a lot for a guy in CJ who's starting to look a little rattled by all of the pressure that he's been facing. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's starting to mess with the clock in his head and some of his decision making at times. You cannot dilly-dally with this and assess it after the game. You gotta be ready to pull the plug quick and see what Kendrick Green can do in there. And Kenyon Green's feelings be damned, okay?
Well, that's,
I care about C.J. Stroud's kidneys.
That's what makes the whole thing about them even starting him at all so strange to me. They clearly thought he wasn't worth having in there during the Colts game at one point. They took him out for Jarrett Patterson, and I get it. He came back in. I hear people say he came back in, he was better in the second half. Well, it's hard to be worse than he's been for the last however many weeks.
And they started running boots and half rolls and all this other stuff. Like, it wasn't, he had some good reps, but he also still had some bad reps too, especially in the dude. Nobody gets blown off the ball the way Kenyon Green has the last couple weeks in the run game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's single-handedly destroyed some run games by getting absolutely destroyed deep into the back. Sean, as a defensive tackle, sometimes it's almost frustrating when you blow a guy back that far off the ball because it's hard to disengage in time to make the tackle. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, crap, I got to slow down.
Yeah.
You're not ready to put on the brakes.
Yep.
Like, usually you got to beat a guy and then chuck him and move laterally. It's almost like you got to backpedal to make a tackle for a loss after you beat Kenyon Green that bad.
Yes.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Yep. I think where the Texans have the biggest advantage in this game is I think it's three areas. And if it's the type of game that I think it's going to be, and we'll get your prediction in a second, Seth, then the three areas that I'm talking about are what's going to fuel a Texans win. And I think they got a big advantage with their pass rush versus the Jets offensive line, especially with Aaron Rodgers not nearly as mobile as he used to be. I think they got a huge advantage in the kicking game. If this is a close game that's back and forth in the fourth quarter, and you're a team that's having to rely on your kicker. Now, we said that with the Packers, too. It just signed Brandon McManus off the street, and he winds up kicking a game-winning field goal in that game. But on the aggregate, over the course of 60 minutes, I trust Kyemi Fairbairn over whichever guy is going to replace Greg Zuerlein off the street. It would have been much better if Zuerlein were not on IR for the Jets, but they put their kicker on IR. And I think they've got a big advantage in the coaching game. This is a clown show right now for the New York Jets. I know we've been somewhat critical of the Texans on the offensive side of the ball with Bobby Slowick. I think they've been dynamite on the defensive side of the ball with Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans coaching things there. But the bottom and the special teams have been really good with Frank Ross by and large. I think they've got a huge advantage if this thing turns into a chess game at all. Like when it comes to little game management decisions or replay review decisions, things like that. They just run a cleaner operation than everybody runs a cleaner operation right now than the Jets do.
Yeah, the Jets have been a comedy of errors at times. And some of Aaron Rodgers' sound bites sound a little bit like Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud sound bites when they talk about how, man, there's just so many times where it's 10 guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing. Or it's 9 guys doing the right thing and 2 guys doing the wrong thing. Except with the Jets, what that's turned into is over the last 5 weeks, especially, they're 27th in scoring, 25th in total yards per game, 31st in rushing. Like, they've been a bad offense. Whereas with the Texans, it's that they have not reached their potential.
Yeah.
It's been frustrating because they just haven't clicked. They're not firing on all cylinders, but they're still a better overall offense than the Jets. So that's where I think some of the gambling lines and everything, I think it's fueled by partly you look at the overall stats for the defense or the offense for the Jets, and it's a little bit misleading.
Yeah.
Because the Jets have gotten worse as a football team. You know, they just got beat by the Patriots.
Right.
You know, it's just, oh yeah, but it was close and they were in there. No, they looked awful versus the Patriots.
Well, they were the first team to ever lose a game. They scored more than 20 points. They didn't turn the ball over, and they allowed less than 250 yards of offense by the other team. In the history of football, no team that had done those three things had lost a game before. They were 750 and 0, and now those teams in that category are 750-1, thanks to the 2024 New York Jets.
Like you, look, I like the coaching staff for the Texans more than the coaching staff, except for Brant Boyer, my friend, who's a very good special teams coach.
Yeah.
The rest of those coaches can go die.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Brant's been there through like three different head coaches.
He's a good coach, yeah.
And now we're on radio silence during weeks where the Jets play the Texans.
Really?
I don't want him to Jedi mind trick me into giving him some kind of a tip or something.
Okay.
So I do think that even in – I know we've had game management issues and questions. I still trust the Texans over an interim coaching staff by far, and especially the way that that Jets offense has been operating the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the defensive lines for both these teams are really the key to victory, which means that the offensive lines also matter. But right now, it's crazy. Like C.J. Stroud is better suited to handling poor pass protection right now than Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, who's been one of the best improvisational quarterbacks in NFL history, he's not that guy right now. He can't run away from pressure. Fat defensive tackles are chasing him down. And you've got Will Anderson really coming into his own and hitting his stride, and Danielle Hunter on the other side. I think that it ends up being a really good night for those guys. But the Jets' defensive line can also do some damage. Will McDonald is second in the NFL in sacks right now. Quinnen Williams is a nightmare. I think CJ's just better suited and capable of handling that. So turnovers end up being a big difference here. That Aaron Rodgers is taking sacks more often and throwing interceptions more often than classic Aaron Rodgers does. He just looks completely out of sorts. So I've got the Texans still taking the under. I don't think it's going to be a prolific showing, but 23-17 Texans.
23-17. Okay, I've got 19-17 Texans. I think it's going to be a parade of Kyahmi Fairbairn field goals for the Texans tonight. 19-17 for me, 23-17 for you. So you and I are both on basically Texans money line and the under tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think I'll throw Joe Mixon in there too. I think Joe Mixon was the other big factor because Breece Hall just has been a disappointment, whereas Joe Mixon has been a revelation.
He's been incredible, man. He's been so good when he's been out there and healthy. All right, Reggie Atatula, Pirate Lopez here. Arg. We're Avast Mateys. Can you turn the guys up there, Jordan? How we doing?
Doing all right.
How about that?
There we go.
No, this is just my fishing gear.
After the conversation yesterday, he was like, you know about getting to the booty. You know, I figured I should dress it all the way up.
Yeah. You do look like you're about to, you're a pirate, but it's like a glistening latex pirate's vest.
It's true.
I'm your,
What is that
okay,
material?
Latex
is that,
pirate.
Is that satin or is it plastic?
I don't know what it is, to be honest.
Run your fingers across it. What's the texture?
It feels almost plasticky.
Okay, plasticky.
Almost
I got you.
Plastic.
Okay, so you're a ratchet Captain Hook.
This keeps all the other fishermen.
You sure aren't very good at finding hidden treasure, that's for sure.
I feel like you're a Soho nightclub in the 1970s pirate. Yeah.
This keeps all the other fishermen from coming by my fishing spot.
I'll bet.
that's a good way to do it.
I dare you.
That's funny. So do you get a lot of trick-or-treaters in your neighborhood, John?
Well, this is our Halloween at this one. Last year was great. We have a really cool thing in the first ward. You can they have a map that they share with everybody, and you put like a ghost on your house, and that means you can have candy. So this year I did that. So I'm expecting a good. I love giving out the candy and all that stuff. That's a lot of fun.
So
now the kids are gonna and the parents are gonna have a map. Say that house yes, that house yes, that house no.
Okay, well now back in my day, which was also your day, if there was a house that wasn't giving out candy, they were open. They were open season. The eggs were open season on those houses. I'm sorry, if you're not giving out candy. You're gonna have to clean your house.
Statute of limitations.
Soaped windows. Has passed. Eggs on the house. Yeah, nobody in Connecticut's listening right now.
Yeah, and I'm one of those guys that ever since my kids left the house.
Yeah.
I am the full-size candy bar guy. So
you've mentioned that before.
So they, I get a lot of repeat. No, I get a lot of repeat customers. They're like, "That's the house that
do you, repeat customers." Like you're making money off of this. My clients love me.
I'm guessing that in a big city, I'm guessing vandalism rates on Halloween are lower than they are out in the country or suburbs. Just because it's not. You know, it's one of those things that happens out in the, like, when I grew up and when it was still very much more country and everything, it's kind of one of those things, all right, a kid gets in trouble or caught doing something, but the parents know the parents of the other guy or the, you know, there's only, like, there's a punishment, but it's not, I feel like in Houston, kids, like, they might pull off a youthful prank and then end up with an actual record because of it. So I feel like the kids are a little bit more street savvy in Houston. You can't be messing around.
I think you're right. Yeah,
that's a good theory. I like that.
I also feel like the vandalism came from not having a lot to do generally.
Yeah.
I feel like
that's
at the
true.
Very least of the internet, there's plenty. Go play Call of Duty or something.
Yeah.
That's
true.
No, Reginald, that's a great point, though. Like, just like teen pregnancy and teen just sexual activity rates have gone down. Because they'd rather be on their phones.
Yeah.
Likewise with throwing pumpkins in people's driveways.
Why would I do that?
Inflation, the cost of eggs, you know, like that's also prohibitive.
It's come back down, but that year that eggs went way up, it's amazing.
Thanks a lot, whoever you're blaming. Whoever you choose to blame this Tuesday, thanks a lot.
You're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's
tonight.
Right. I'm going to be holding it down with the watch party out in Spring.
Spring, okay.
Yeah, Buffalo Wild Wings in Spring. We got some giveaways happening as well.
Nice.
Sign Nico Collins jersey
See?
Or football? I think it was a jersey.
2 years ago, we would have been like, oh, great, a signed Nico Collins jersey. Now it's like, he's best receiver in the league.
And I mean, if a jersey doesn't do it for you, right, how about a Bud Light giving away two tickets to the Lions game? That'll do
a
little something.
Yeah.
That's a hot ticket.
Yeah, that is a hot
ticket.
That's
I'll tell you what, that's giving out Buffalo Wild Wings giving out hot wings for Halloween, I think that would be looked at skeptically at first, but then would become a tradition for a lot of people, for
packaged.
The parents especially.
Yeah.
Well, no, or if they're hot and you're just putting them right off the, like, parents are probably like, hell yeah, we're going to that place, get some wings. give him some wet wipes.
No, I like them. I just want them to drop them in the bags like Snicker bars. And you open up and there's like, you know, buffalo sauce smeared on the side of your bag.
Guys, I'm sorry. I don't want to cut into your show any more than we have already. But like, I just had this memory from childhood and I don't want to lose it. So I want to say it out loud. My grandmother lived in this old house on Maple Avenue in our small town. And she used to, her tradition, it was a tradition forever in the neighborhood, was because she had a nursery school there, so everybody knew her. Mm-hmm. Half the kids I went to school with like went to her nursery school at this house. She would give out hot apple cider. And and people enjoyed it. They would come, and she had this big vestibule that everybody would come in, you warm up a little bit and drink hot apple cider. And then she would give out candy too and everything. But as the community changed and more people started moving in, it was kind of sad because you could see over time the people coming to the door and kind of looking like, am I going to let my kid drink this unpackaged?
Yeah.
This old lady who might as well, like, who's definitely
sucks,
poisoned
man.
And laced this with cyanide. Yeah.
You gotta check the tea for razor blades.
Nowadays, somebody would post her picture on Twitter and say, can you please identify her? I want to get her fired.
Right.
Yeah.
That sucks, man. Poor granny.
Poor Grandma Ev.
Yeah. Grandma Ev. On what street was she on again?
Maple Avenue.
It's straight out of Central Castle.
The Red Brick Nursery School is where her nursery school was.
Run by Grandma Ev on Maple Avenue. Right out of Central Casting for grandmas. All right, Seth, I'll see you at 4:15 today. Antibodies to you.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to do it.
Antibodies and all the full-size Twicker bars you can handle.
Thank you.
Snickers.
Thank you.
Snickers. Oh, boy.
Why
don't you bow out now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
we're
done. Twicker bar.
We're out of time. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 on Odyssey Station. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. It is a Halloween football Friday on a Thursday, and they start In the Loop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.